Hey, this is Tom Waddle. Thanks for listening to the Waddle and Sylvie podcast brought to you by Miller Lite, the presenting sponsor of the 2020 ESPN 1000 Virtual Fantasy Football Championship. Find out how to be a part of it at ESPNFFC.com.
Waddle and Sylvie weekdays, 2 to 6.
Follow on Twitter at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87. ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
It is a football Friday. I could not be more jacked. Yes, it probably could, but I'm excessively jacked right now about all the football that is going on. Big play tonight is Cumberland and Coastal Carolina square off. Abdallah and I are wasting our money on that game. I've already bet the Packers -6.5 to beat the Lions this weekend at Lambeau. The Lions are decimated by injuries. What else do I have? I've bet the White Sox to beat the Reds. That game comes up later this afternoon. I don't think the White Sox are taking their foot off the gas after winning 23 of the last 28 games and clinching a playoff spot. They still are playing to win the AL Central. And that's an update on where my money is placed. I have the Bears winning by 7. I'm not so sure if I'm going to make that wager. Are you guys going to, well, Eric, you don't gamble. Abdallah, are you going to bet on the Bears game? That's a teaser play for me.
Yes, yes. They will look. I mean, of course.
How did you guys do, by the way, on your teaser?
Not great. Not great. I had one that the only one that lost, I forget what it was, but I missed one by one. And then on Saturday, I missed one because Clemson had to let stupid Wake Forest score at the end. Stupid Clemson. Can't stand them.
You can't stand them because they shove it.
No, I don't like that. I don't like
your rear as an Alabama fan.
No, it has nothing to do with that because I love Trevor Lawrence. Trevor Lawrence is a great guy. He's a great representation of the face of college football. It's Dabo. He's fake nice guy. Dabo is 100% a fake nice guy. And do your
how would you describe your pseudo father in Nick Saban?
Nick Saban? Nick Saban's the nicest guy around. He just wants winning.
He's nice.
He just wants winning. Yeah, he just wants winning.
He's not fake.
Listen, he'll curse you out on the field, but it's all in love. Dabo, just do your research. Fake nice guy.
Okay. You say so.
No, I don't need to get into it.
No.
Let's talk Allen Robinson.
Okay, well, what do you want to say about Allen Robinson? We've spent the a good part of this show a couple days ago, all, you know, gnashing our teeth and wringing our hands about the possibility that Allen Robinson's time here in Chicago may be me short. I don't believe that. As I said when this story came out that Allen was unhappy with his contract, I think that this will eventually get done. I think we've seen the market. The market's Keenan Allen. The market's Amari Cooper. The market is Cooper Kupp. And as far as those numbers go, I believe Cooper Kupp signed a $15 and $16 million per year contract. Odell Beckham Jr., Tyreek Hill, they're in the $18 million per year range. And Keenan Allen, who just signed a third contract with the Chargers for 4 years, is getting $20 million per year. You can look at what Odell Beckham got and Tyreek Hill got, but those are, even though they're more recent, in some ways they're dated when you compare them, obviously, to the Keenan Allen deal. So my guess is that he's looking for $20 million a year. I don't think he's going to be traded, but Dan Graziano, who does great work for ESPN, wrote a very good article today adding some perspective here. The title is, Could Allen Robinson Really Be Traded by the Chicago Bears? What We Know and Why His Contract is Tricky. And
He basically says, well, according to sources familiar with the situation, the Bears are looking at the Cooper Kupp extension with the Rams as their comparison,
meaning which is $16 million a year.
$15 to $16 million per year range. Robinson is thinking more along the lines of OBJ and Tyreek Hill, who are within the $18 million range. So they're about $2 to $3 million off.
I would say this. If I was Allen Robinson, I'd be asking for what Keenan Allen got, which is $20 million a year. And I believe Amari Cooper got the same. Like, I'd be asking for more than Odell Beckham Jr.'s contract is a couple years old, isn't it? So the market for the wide receivers right now is $20 million a year. If he's asking for 18, I mean, that's less than I would have thought he was going to be asking. I do believe, I think Dan referenced it somewhere here and here in this article. Here is the franchise tag. Salary cap expected to drop to $175 million as a result of lost 2020 revenue due to the coronavirus pandemic. Franchise tag for wide receivers is projected to be around $15.7 million next year. It was $17.9 this year. So it's going to be $2 million less next year than it is this year. Like, if the Bears really wanted to play quote-unquote hardball, they could franchise him and pay him $16 million. I can guarantee you that he and his agent have told the Bears they're not interested in that. They have no desire to be franchised, as most players don't want to be.
Right. Graziano brings up, like, we don't know, but, like, if they franchise him, there's no guarantee Robinson's going to play because he's banked $42 million in his career already. So yeah, he's got that. So there's maybe where he doesn't, I'm not going to play for a franchise.
I find it highly unlikely that most guys will not play and turn away $16 million. But it would certainly create an environment where you would not, they would not be on, you know, on the same page. With regard to trades, I don't find that very likely as well. And Dan added some clarity. I thought it was a really good article. He says, so how does this all turn out? Robinson's preference, by all accounts, is to do an extension with the Bears and stay in Chicago, which I love. But if they don't want to pay him what he believes he's worth, sources say he has raised the idea of the Bears trading him to another team that will. Here's an interesting line as well. Or at least one where he might be able to put up more impressive numbers in advance of free agency. What does that tell you? That line right there tells you what?
Quarterback play.
Yes.
That's what it says.
If you read between the lines, what that tells you is that you may be, this is how I read it the other day. If I'm Allen Robinson and his agent, my approach is you may think I'm a $16 million a year player, but if you had a better option, a quarterback, I'd be a $20 million a year player. So don't take that out on me because the person throwing me the football isn't as accomplished as we would all like. So if Allen Robinson, as I said yesterday, is playing in that San Diego or that Los Angeles Chargers offense the last couple of years, his numbers are comparable to Keenan Allen's anyway, but they would be even more impressive. So I thought that was an interesting line in here. Robinson and his agent have not formally requested permission to speak to other teams about trades, but the negotiations have reached the point in which Robinson is frustrated and wondering if that might be the best option, which I think is kind of middle ground between, you know, Brad Biggs reported that his agents and him, they have requested a trade, and others saying, well, maybe that's not, there's some gray area there where maybe Allen Robinson and his people said, look, if you don't want to pay me $20 million, maybe you should just trade me. That's different than saying, I'm not coming in, I'm not playing unless you trade me or you pay me. There's some gray area there. Robinson, this Dan goes on to say, Robinson is eminently tradable. He's earning $10.9 million in salary this year. I thought that number was higher, but I guess that's just salary. The bonuses may kick that somewhere higher. If a team acquired him halfway through the season, he'd cost them only $5.45 million against the salary cap. He's a young asset who could help receiver needy contenders in places like San Francisco, Baltimore, New England, and Philadelphia, just to name a few. Dan goes on to say, I'm not ignoring the Packers, I promise. I just don't imagine the Bears trading him to a division rival. Should he end up someplace else, they might not even need to extend him to keep him happy. Not if playing there could potentially help him on the free agent market next spring. Robinson is closely watching the situation with Galladay in Detroit and Chris Godwin in Tampa Bay. Each of those star wideouts is in the final year of his rookie deal and looking for an extension. So, my own personal conclusion is that trading him is not an option that the Bears are considering.
Well, I don't think they can. I don't think they can. And Robinson essentially holds all the cards.
Yes.
Because
you eliminate Allen Robinson from that receiving core.
Yeah.
With Mitch,
But I feel like the Bears hold the card because of the franchise. Like, that is the franchise tag is the card, I feel.
Well, but they don't have any other weapons without him. Where's Riley Ridley? He can't even see the make the field.
He can't just leave, though.
Well, I think you guys are talking about two separate things. Right. In terms of right now, he's not going anywhere.
No, he's not going anywhere, but also I think he can go to the negotiating table and say, what else you got? You don't have anything else.
Right.
You have Riley Ridley, who can't see the field. You have Anthony Miller, who is sporadic at best at wide receiver.
I tell you why, week one, he looked great.
He looks great. And that's part of the needs for the Bears is one of the things is to see more out of Anthony Miller. We don't know what Cole Kmet's going to be. Yeah, Jimmy Graham had a touchdown. But is he?
Well, he did not look nearly on film in the All-22.
Exactly.
He doesn't look nimble.
So they really have nobody else. It would have been real nice if Ryan Pace would have used one of those draft picks he seems to throw around like nickels to draft a wide receiver in the deepest wide receiver draft ever last year.
I will say this, Adam. The kid Mooney, I know he was a later round pick.
Yeah,
I really like
too.
What I saw from him. And if you can hit on him, then you've got something. But you're right. I do think that this receiving...
But a top-tier wide receiver. I'm saying you know, like you're not putting Mooney in the top tier of wide receivers.
No.
No, different skill set.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah. But I do think that this receiving room's got a chance to be better than a lot of people anticipated. But I don't... I mean, listen, if you're...
You can only catch the catchable balls.
They're built to win now. And by that I mean, and Sylvie made a good statement earlier in the week, are you really built to win when you're not set at quarterback? I get it, but based on the amount of money that you have appropriated to different positions, you've spent a lot of money. You're built to win now. You're not trading Allen Robinson. He's the most dependable part of your offense, which is already challenged to begin with. So some interesting words and thoughts coming from Dan Graziano about the Allen Robinson situation. We'll continue to talk Bears. Up next, though, we get you to plays of the weekend. Our good buddy Doug Kazarian from ESPN will help us break down the best plays of this weekend.
This is Waddle and Sylvie. Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN_Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
Gamble, and it's time to talk to our good friend Doug Kazarian. You see him on the Daily Wager every single day, 5 o'clock ESPN2, and you can hear him on the Behind the Bets podcast. Doug, how'd we do in week one of the NFL season?
Well, we got to talk to Swift, the Detroit Lions. You know, maybe it was my jinx. Maybe I helped your loyal listenership because I helped the Bears win because he dropped a game winner. And really, this is on Patricia in that long field goal attempt up 10. Late in the fourth. I'll never understand. I one of these days, these teams are gonna find guys who play Madden exactly in like seventh and eighth grade, and then just hire like an eighth grader to help them with coaching decisions. Because that's all it takes.
We're told he's got a degree in I don't know, rocket science. He must be the smartest guy in all of the NFL that doesn't know how to manage things on the football field.
Well, great. Go to NASA. Go work at NASA. But in order to do this, you need to have played Madden
right. And
watched a few games or bet on games, to be honest.
Yeah.
And the easiest tell is how your like emotions fluctuate, like follow the needle, so to speak. It's very simple. You do the opposite of what the team wants, the opponent, you know? So if you're like fourth and 20, the team wants you to go for it, so you punt. If it's fourth and inches on their own 40, you know, they want you to punt. So you go for it. It's really that simple. So what did the Bears want at that juncture? They wanted you to try a 55-yard field goal because you know what? It went, even if you made it, it goes from a two-score game to a two-score game.
Right.
Instead, you give them the ball at midfield.
It's crazy. It really is. Was there anything else in week one that kind of left you surprised or maybe changes the way you look at a team or two?
You know, it's a great question because – you know, we all the TV shows, ESPN, everywhere else, it's like overreaction Monday and all that stuff. And the odds makers have to react as well. And I find that so fascinating because what a few sports books do in Vegas and elsewhere, you can bet on next week's line. So for right now, until Sunday morning, you can bet on week three point spreads. So what was the biggest reaction from this time last week to like Monday morning for week two? Well, the Browns actually went from 8.5 to 6 because they didn't look very good. And obviously we had some point spread drama last night. There's been some other movement. The biggest one is the Chiefs. The Chiefs have gone the other way from 6 to 8.5. And it is the biggest liability for all the books. The Chiefs have won and covered 10 straight games dating back to last year's postseason and regular season. I mean, just think about it, guys. We know that the point spread by kickoff is the great kind of 50-50 equalizer, right? They've won. That's like flipping heads 10 times in a row. The ticket count at one book I spoke with earlier in the week was 25-1 in favor of the Chiefs to charge. That for every one bet on the Chargers, they got 25 on the Chiefs.
Wow.
It's the darling of the NFL, Patrick Mahomes. So it's just funny that this popular team, like the equivalent of the Golden State Warriors, right, this high-flying, popular team is just bearing the books. And I don't see how this machine slows down.
Right. It's a very good point. Before we get into the Bears and the Giants, your thoughts on this specific topic, when you look at the Packers, a team that just destroyed the Vikings, and you look at the Lions, are you surprised that this Packers line isn't more than -6.5?
It's a great question, but, I mean, when you talk about that look-ahead line, like I mentioned, it was 6.5, you know, going into the season. So, look, the Lions were great for, like, three quarters. Maybe not great, but were fine for three quarters. And we know what happened last year on Monday night. The Packers won the game because of a couple fortunate calls, right? The Lions are right there now. Are they discouraged and stuff? Well, we can play amateur psychologists for that one in terms of the locker room and all that. But at the end of the day, like, they're a much improved team, and maybe the Packers just looked a little bit better than they should have. I think the Vikings might be in trouble, right? They lose Danielle Hunter, and they got some issues at corner. Like, maybe the Vikings just aren't very good. And last year was kind of like lightning in a bottle if things went right for them. But, I mean, Green Bay, obviously 13-3 was lightning in a bottle. But Aaron Rodgers last year had the worst QBR of his career since he became a starter in 2008. Now, last week he looked great, and he's gone from about 25-1 to win the MVP down to 10-1. So maybe the old Rodgers is back. But I think that's about right. You know, Waddle, we talk about key numbers of 7 and stuff like that. You can't get over 7 in that game. You right. just can't. So maybe it gets the 7 by kickoff. But there's some 6s out there as well. I think 6, 6.5 already is pretty high. If I had to, I would probably grab the points of the Lions really? If I had to.
What about the total at 49.5?
You know, that's interesting. It's just really hard for a lot of points to be scored. I mean, these drives can bleed clock. You know, like the Rams-Cowboys Sunday night, like I thought it was going to be an over game, and then, you know, the offenses are clicking and humming, and then they settle for like a field goal here, and then they tighten up. And we saw it last night on the broadcast. It went over, but, you know, Beckham was kind of his speed was neutralized once you get to the red zone. There's just not enough room. So, as you know from having played the game, so many things have to go right for that red zone conversion rate for the touchdown. So, 49.5 is a lot, especially for a Packers team that does want to run the ball, even though they have the great Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah. Doug Kazarian, our guest on ESPN 1000, Waddle and Sylvie. All right, let's focus on our team here in town. Got a miraculous win in Detroit last week. They are, I believe, 5.5-point favorites at home with the Giants coming to town. How do you look at this game?
You know, it's tough because I think the Giants are going to – look, I think their win total is going to go under. Their win total was 6 this year. I think they're going to land under because the schedule is so brutal. But they're going to be much more competent than their schedule indicates. I think they're going to be a good bet on team the second half of the season. They're going to get better on offense. The offensive line is going to shore up some issues. They didn't look great on Monday night, but a couple plays, right? They get the muff punt inside the 5, only get 3 instead of 7. And then Daniel Jones with a costly interception in the red zone. So that game was a lot closer. Now, give the Steelers credit because that front line, front four, and everything about that Steelers defense with speed and power, they look really formidable. So that's not the time you maybe want to bet on the Giants. But, you know, this is like a lot of points in NFL standards. Now, with all that being said, I just can't take the Giants because I think the Bears might murder teams in home openers. They are just historically a cover machine in their home openers. And I think that is what – Now, look, we have a segment we call Trend versus Trap. Is that a trend or is that a trap? I think there's something to be said about that. When the crowd is there and there's just a vibe and a buzz in the city, all that being said, I'd have to lay it before I took them.
Okay, so you're putting your money on Mitch in 5.5. Okay.
If I had to. Because I just think it's one of those things where, like, they'll knock out a leg by halftime and then just lean on that chair in the second half. The Bears will get a key turnover, short field. Trubisky will hand it off and they'll get it. You know, I think when things are going, like, I'm not saying they're a bully, but, you know, Trubisky can play downhill, right? Like, when they have a lead, he's, like, a good quarterback. Nagy will mix it in a play action. It'll hit some tight end in the flat, and they're moving the sticks. And it's when they're down and they can't come back and things unravel, kind of like last year in that London game with the Raiders. That's when they have issues, when he's forced to make throws, although he made some nice throws in the second half. It's just, I just think when the field is leveled, when, like, the competition's leveled, he's not a guy who's going to win you games. Right. And that's of my opinion. I don't think Foles necessarily will, although he has done it, so it makes me sound stupid. I think that was just an anomaly. But in this case, I think in this type of game where Tomlin showed you have to put all your eggs in one basket to stop Barkley and make Daniel Jones beat you. And, like, literally almost every play with Barkley was like a 2-yard gain or less, and mostly a loss of yards if you put that guy. So I think that's like the script against this version of the Giants team until Daniel Jones develops, which I think will be second half of the season.
Yeah. You mentioned the Vikings earlier. They're at the Colts, and I believe they're getting a field goal. How do you feel about this game?
It's ugly, man. I just think it's two teams that look terrible in week one. Now you could say the Colts had a lead and blah, blah, blah. I think we took a leap of faith with a lot of quarterbacks this year. It was Baker Mayfield. Oh, he's going to be better this year because no Freddie Kitchens. Well, it wasn't Freddie Kitchens as offense coordinator the first year when they looked really good, and that's why he got the head coaching job. I was a guy who thought Kirk Cousins could be an MVP at 50-1 ticket because, hey, no fans. Cousins has all the tools, has the weapons. Maybe he can put it all together this year. Phillip Rivers, oh, he was bad last year because the O-line was terrible for the Chargers. So you're telling me no one's going to blitz him this year? I mean, there was a lot of convenient assumptions we all made to make excuses for these quarterbacks. Maybe they just stink. Like, maybe Phillip Rivers stinks at this age. Maybe Kirk Cousins just has a low ceiling than we think. You know, yeah, he'll pad the stats a few games a year, maybe 4 to 5 games. He'll put up ridiculous numbers. But at the end of the day, maybe these guys just aren't that good. And with the Colts, like, maybe the O-line's not that great. T.Y. Hilton's always hurt, can't stretch the field. They're already down a running back. I believe Mac is out for this game. So I have to grab the 3 points with Minnesota. But at the end of the day, like, maybe they're just the Dalvin Cook and Thielen and a couple players, you know, away from being awful. Like, maybe their defense is just so banged up. I just don't trust Rivers, and I'm getting the full field goal, which we talk about as a key number. I got to grab the 3 if I had to play that game.
I don't trust the Vikings offensive line. Never have, never will. And that's a bad combo with a guy who's skittish in the pocket when the pressure is coming after him. What are your favorite plays in the NFL in week two, Doug?
So I think we've talked about teasers, which is where you can adjust a point spread, 6 points, but you got to hit all the legs of that teaser. I think a two-leg teaser for me is the 49ers at the Jets is one leg going from -7 down to 1. Look, I get that the Niners may have the worst quarterback in their own division, right? And they may have a little bit of a Super Bowl hangover, but I'm not ready to write them off. I thought that was a very impressive win by Arizona, and the Niners were right there, right? Like, they convert a 4th and 5. Maybe they score the game-winning touchdown. Who knows? I think they're going into the Jets, and they're going to whoop some ass. Like, I just think they may run the ball 50 times. I know they're banged up at wide receiver. Not sure about Kittle, but the Jets don't have Le'Veon Bell. The Jets have terrible pass defense, so I think Shanahan's going to put together a game plan and do all that good stuff. And I just think they're going to go in there on a business trip and get the job done. Now, whether they cover the 7, I'd probably lay it if I had to, but I think they win the game. I don't think they're messing around. I think the Jets might be the worst team in the NFL. I know they have Darnold. I know they have, but they're banged up at receiver and they lost all their key defensive guys. They're okay against the run, but I still think the Niners are just going to pound the rock like no other and get the win. And the other one is Baltimore. Similar spread. 7, take it down to 1. The Ravens have won 13 straight regular season games. They are an absolute machine, and I think we need to start capitalizing it. And let me ask you this, Waddle, because I sort of got this theory when I worked at Bristol and talked to a lot of former players. It goes without saying, and this is sort of my big master theory why Peyton Manning's such a dominant regular season quarterback, versus what it takes to defeat that kind of Ravens deep offense, just the discipline, the attention to detail during the week, all that effort, and then on Sunday, just all that effort as well. I only think you can kind of get that and demand that from your defense in the playoffs.
I think it's a great point because you don't scheme for that style on a week in and week out basis. So when you face the Ravens, it's like unlike anything you face during the regular season all year long. And you're right. When you get to the postseason, now you've got hopefully a couple of weeks to be focused and dial in on it. But I think it's a great point. And I think that early in the year, what we have found also is that the Ravens are a very hard team to slow down early in the season.
And Harbaugh's been an amazing preseason betting coach. Like, he's the guy you want to bet. I think he just prepares his team for the beginning of the season, so to speak, whereas the Saints kind of play the long game. Patriots have done that over the years. I think Harbaugh goes all in. I think those wins matter, and he get home field advantage. But, I mean, let me ask you this. So, you know, sometimes, I mean, this is sort of a random question, but let's, I talking from former athletes, former NFLers, it's about two guys probably would play in a week on defense if it were a playoff game, but are maybe going to sit out if it's a regular season game. About 1.5 or two, right? Is that fair?
That's fair.
So in the postseason, it's all hands on deck. The intensity of, like, what we saw with the Titans last year against the Ravens, you don't get that in the regular season. You just don't. And so when I use the Peyton Manning example, we have that image of him with a helmet on while watching his iPad while in the hot tub, right?
Yeah.
Like, Manning does this all the time, 24/7. He immerses himself. And then opposing teams didn't do that until the playoffs. And obviously you face better teams and you get a bye week. So that's old Peyton Manning-Brady conversation for another day.
I like it.
But I do think, like, that's part of it. Manning's commitment to each week was so much, like, the gap between his and the opposing defenses was so much wider in the regular season than the playoffs. And I think that's what the case with these unique offenses. It just takes so much effort and discipline, both mentally and physically. You're just not going to get that in the regular season. And I think the Texans are really on the decline because of no DeAndre Hopkins. I think they're dysfunctional, and I don't think they have a great coach either. So that's why I like just the Ravens, just to get the win. The backdoor cover is going to be open. So I think those two teams, I believe in them. I think they're playoff teams, obviously. The Niners, I know, lost week one, but I think this is the week. And historically, if a playoff team from the year before loses week one, they're a great bet on team in week two. It means they're good. You're getting their maximum attention, all that stuff. So I think they go in and take care of business on the road. So two teams that I think are really good just to get the win.
I like it. Before we let you go, anything stick out to you for college football? And selfishly, what is your leaning in the BC Duke game?
You know, it's tough. What's left of the college week, and I think the Houston Baylor game just got canceled like moments ago, or earlier today, I should say. So I like Wake getting the point. It was to 2.5. Now it's down to 1. I just think, well, first of all, there's the potential of a sandwich spot is a term you use, like, you know, a kind of a flat spot between two games. Last week it was Clemson. Next week they get Notre Dame. But I think Wake is all about this game because, A, it's an in-state rival. They call it the Big Four. There's four in-state ACC schools. This is a big one. And I just think they can't, you know, waste wins, so to speak. I think they're going to go in. And NC State last year had, I think, one conference win. It's because they lost their quarterback, Ryan Finley, to the NFL. And they just had sort of a revolving door, and they settled on the freshman at the end of last season. But the offseason, they couldn't really do much because of the pandemic. And he's from New Jersey originally, so he wasn't exactly working with teammates and things like that from home. So I just think, and it's NC State's first game. Wake already has a game under their belt. They looked okay at times. And granted, they were playing the number one team in the country last week. So, you know, got to look at it through a certain prism. But I thought they looked pretty good. I trust them. I think they go on the road and get the win in Raleigh. I plus one's fine. Plus 2.5 was better, obviously. But I think it's the right side there. And as for BC and Duke, I have a man crush on Cutcliffe. I just think he's like the most entertaining guy. He's so creative. He's a good coach. I like teams that do have a game under their belt, like I mentioned with Wake. So I would lean to Duke probably in that one, even though I have to lay 6 points.
Yeah, you broke my heart, Doug. Anyway, we appreciate all of your information. Good luck this weekend, and we'll talk to you next Friday, my friend.
Thanks. You too, bud.
Take care. Always like our conversations with Doug Kazarian. Breaks it down great and has given us some very profitable advice over the course of the last several weeks. He's a pro. We're just boobs. We're amateurs, but we like to do a little something we call like it, love it. Just a taste of that. And we'll bring that to you in a moment.
Waddle and Sylvie.
Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. I like it, I love it.
Just a little taste of it. I like it, I love it, I want some more of it. It's our little gambling game we like to play every Friday, and somebody's puffing out their chest right now because they have a week one lead.
Yeah, it's early, but Waddle is in the lead with 5 points.
I felt really good. There are some weeks I feel like crap about my picks.
Yeah.
Last week, I felt delightful. I was at ease. I was confident.
What's crazy here is three of us. So, like, if we were just doing it based on record,
felt great.
Three of us went 1-2, and you went 2-0-1.
2-0-1. I own a casino.
I know.
Like, that's the way the gambling game is played, my friend.
I get it. 1-2. Because of the point system.
You are paying me.
But because of the point system.
Don't leave, Eric. It's getting hot in there. You don't need to leave.
He's out. I think he's actually gambling. He's either gambling and winning or gambling.
Does he have a bathroom problem?
No. I mean, so because of
it would only be apropos on this show.
So because of the ridiculous point system that we've assigned the like and the love and the tasting of, you have 5 points. Bleck has 3 points.
Explain the point system.
So you get 2 points for or 3 points for a love, 2 points for a like, 1 point for a taste.
Just a taste.
Okay. So you have 5 points going 2-0-1. Bleck has 3 points going 1-2. Sylvie has 2 points going 1-2, and I have 1 point going 1-2.
So where's your beef?
So, no, it's just that we all went 1-2 except for you, but we all have this different point system.
Well, that's because, like, I would explain it this way, and you should know because you're probably the most accomplished and the most avid gambler of the three of us here with Eric Ostrowski in for Chris Bleck because he hates football, and Sylvie's not in today because he doesn't like football
but Chris
either.
Chris loves baseball, so he'll be in for the baseball
show at 6.
Yeah.
Like, you put 2 units down.
Yeah, I understand units. I understand putting my units down.
So
I get it.
So where are you struggling? Why are you struggling with the points?
I'm just being salty.
I'm just being salty because I'm not winning, but I have the same record as two people ahead of me.
That's it. You can just set. You can say that and then just be done.
Right,
you
so
say,
start,
I'm salty because I'm not winning.
Start. You're in the lead. You get to start.
By the way, you are now 23 points behind me in the baseball fantasy situation as well.
Still 10 games
left. No, you're right.
10 games left. What's Tim Anderson's out of the lineup?
My life,
so that sucks.
Is he? I've already bet the White Sox.
He's the only. He's of the only main
one.
Guys,
he's the only one. Yeah,
Magical's leading off today.
I like the Cardinals. Listen, I'm laying a lot of points. I'm laying wood this week. Laying a lot of points this week. They're giving 6.5 to the Redskins. They're at home. Redskins coming off just a miraculous come from behind win at home against the Eagles. I loved what I saw from the Cardinals. I like the Cardinals giving 6.5 to the Redskins. What are you waving around in there for?
I was trying to get
Eric's attention.
How can you get his back?
I saw like a reflection of something behind.
Well, because he had his mic on, so I couldn't be like Eric.
I like the Cardinals -6.5 hosting the Redskins.
Okay.
Abdallah.
Well, hold on. I'm trying to figure this out here because technically,
did the guys give you their picks?
Yeah. They did. They did. But I'm just making sure that our points are correct.
I'm going off the sheet you gave me, bro.
I know I'm going off the sheet I gave you because you are, what's the word I'm looking for? An old, and you make me print out the lines for you. The line that we're going with is Cardinals -7.
First of all, that's age. You just became an age discriminator in there. Mm-hmm.
Open up your DraftKings app and look at the line.
This is what you gave me.
Because this should be the lines. Because you told me to. No. We went through this last week. I said we're using DraftKings. They're sponsoring Twitch right now. ESPN 1000, Chicago, Twitch. Sylvie, you, both of you, promote DraftKings. We're using DraftKings. And on DraftKings, the line is 7.
I'm going to stick with it.
Okay.
This is going to sting me, but I'm going to stick with it. The Cardinals -7.
Okay.
Asshat.
Bleck is in second place. Right. Would you kindly read Bleck?
Yeah, so Bleck likes the Colts at -3 at home versus the Vikings. So he's gonna hop on that Philip Rivers train.
That train goes straight into the arms of the other team.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then Sylvie.
Sylvie, because you're in last, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thanks.
So, I just want to make sure. So Sylvie likes Monday night, the debut in Vegas for the Raiders, plus the 5.5 against New Orleans.
All right.
Vegas getting 5.5 from New Orleans.
He likes
that. Yeah.
No Michael Thomas? Or Michael Thomas practiced,
I practiced.
Think.
I read it as a glimmer of hope is what they said. A glimmer of hope. Gentlemen, we go to Saturday.
Yeah, of course we do.
Miami and Louisville. Miami had an explosive drive rate of 31%. So 31% of their drives had an explosive play on it, which led to their win last
week. What's an explosive play?
A play where you get a bunch of yards. More than 75% of their drives had two or more first downs in them. They like ball control. They're getting 2.5 points at Louisville. S&P Plus, which is the metric I like to use for college football, has this as Miami -4. And you're getting 2.5. I like Miami plus 2.5.
All right. My love is the Packers. I've loved the Packers since, like, Wednesday. They're giving 6.5 to a Lions team, and I just checked it on DraftKings. 6.5 is the number. They're giving 6.5 to the Lions. They're in Lambeau. The Lions are still without their three top corners. Aaron Rodgers is trying to put a boot in everyone's ass this year. 6.5 is not enough. I love the Green Bay Packers. That's for you, Sylvie.
All right, Chris is up next. He loves the Dallas Cowboys to bounce back this week at -5 versus the Atlanta Falcons. And then Sylvie, Sylvie loves the Seahawks, -4. Who they got this? They got New England. Sylvie loves the Seahawks, -4 against New England and the Cam Newton Patriots.
Damn, that number's up too. It was at 3.5 earlier. Let's go to Saturday.
No, we stay on Sunday where the big boys play because I also love the Green Bay Packers, -6.5.
You get on this train.
I am getting on it. That would be my strategy, is just to copy all your picks.
Yeah, all right.
But then I'd still be 2 points
yeah,
behind
you're
you.
Never
I'd still be 4 points behind
that
you.
Gap.
Yeah,
yeah.
Just a taste of it. I had the Seahawks at -3.5, but I guess the number's 4.
Yeah.
So I'm going to take the Seahawks -4. I'm getting screwed here because I got a sheet of paper that says to me that the Cardinals were -6.5 and the Seahawks were -3.5. And
no
I made
one
some
is,
decisions
no one,
based
You're not getting
on that.
Screwed. Look at your technology.
So I just taste of Seattle.
All right. Chris would like just a little taste. He's going opposite you guys. He's going the Lions plus the 6.5. So he wants just a little taste.
Oh, he's got some Lions love from last week. He's got some. He's still telling us all that his bet won when it didn't win. The Bears actually won that game and won, but Chris is still telling us, or did yesterday, that it was still a really good bet, and then it won.
Sylvie just wants a little nibble, a little taste of the Arizona Cardinals.
Okay.
-7 at home.
Yeah, come on.
Against the Washington football
bring it.
Team.
Okay, and Adam, wrap us up.
Back to Saturday!
Yeah, of course.
As we're going to get that late night sweat on, it's not going to be an easy Saturday night. We're going to do a little bit of sweating as I want a taste of the Wake Forest NC State under 53. Listen, it's not the best slate in the world. SEC, thank God, comes back next week.
Why didn't you play BC getting 6.5 from Duke?
I did, but not enough to like it or love it or taste it. That's a personal play. That's a personal play. That's a personal play.
Okay.
That's, oh, we only give those to subscribers, 1-800-Abdallah.
Okay. Like, is that a play that you sweat? You like to play? You like to sweat, don't you?
I don't like
to sweat gambling.
I love betting overs, but as I told you last week when you said anything for tonight, and I said I like the Clemson under, and you're like, are you sure? And I go, look, we're going to sweat this one out. It's going to be a long, hard-fought sweat.
We were so lucky, too. There's so many missed opportunities.
It's going to be a long, hard-fought sweat, but eventually it came through, and that's all that matters.
All right, that's like it, love it. Just a taste of it. When we come back, we're going to tell you what to watch for this weekend as well.
This hour is brought to you by the Home Loan Expert. What's driving the housing market? Super low interest rates.
Yes, like really, really low interest rates.
You can buy a bigger home for less money, get pre-approved today.
That's true.
In 5 minutes at thehomeloanexpert.com.
What is your name, please?
Waddle and Sylvie.
Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN_Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Sam Adams is celebrating the return of sports to Chicago. Every day we're highlighting one of the best bars in the Chicagoland area. Today we salute Lizzie McNeil's in Streeterville. Remember, text Sam Adams to 31996 for your chance to win a Sam Adams summer cooler. Lizzie McNeil's in Streeterville, helping you celebrate the return of sports.
Waddle and Sylvie get you set for your weekend viewing with What to Watch For.
That's right. Now time to tell you what to watch for. This is a very creative segment on the show. I think that we've all enjoyed this quite a bit. It was a great idea. Whose idea was this originally?
No idea. Okay. All I know is that last week you forgot Chris ever worked the show.
And
you
said
Eric does a great job on this.
Yes, I did. I gave Eric a very nice compliment as to the creative suggestions that he gave, and I pissed Chris Black off. Yeah. Because I was not aware that
maybe that's why he's not here today.
He's actually been part of the show like for 80 shows, they said, and has given his opinion. I don't recall a lot of that. But, well, like, he shouldn't take it personally because I don't, I don't recall a lot about a lot of stuff. That was Eric, not me. All right, Eric, why don't you start? Since you are very good at this, give us a suggestion what to watch for this weekend.
I will. It just came out this weekend, I believe yesterday, overnight, on Netflix. They have like a documentary where they interviewed a bunch of engineers and officials and crew members and family members of people that were all around the Challenger and the explosion of the last flight of that. And I that was about a year before I was born. I know the story. But I really want to watch this documentary and get into the background of how it all happened.
I'm thinking that 86? Happened. What I was going to say, I was thinking I was in high school or college. I got to college. My senior year was 85 in high school. So I was a freshman, sophomore in college when that happened.
Yeah. So I'm looking forward
to learning. You
weren't born yet? No, 87 I was born. So I'm just looking forward to learning more about that.
Yeah. So it's a tragedy. But I think it's a very good suggestion. Adam, what are you telling the fine people out there to watch for?
Tomorrow night, 6:30 p.m., ABC, number 17, Miami, and number 18, Louisville. Wow, that's okay.
Explosive plays. Yeah, we learned
explosive
that one.
What plays. Is an explosive play,
Derek
by the
King
way?
Is going to be running all over that Louisville defense. It doesn't matter. But what does matter is before that, way before that, 10:30 in the morning, you can listen to Chicago's College Tailgate with myself, Jonathan Hood.
Well done.
And Chris Black as we lead you into the fine coverage of Notre Dame and South Florida, which you can hear right here. On ESPN 1000.
How many hours are you guys on the air for that?
2 hours.
2 hours.
10:30 to 12:30.
Okay, that's good. You do a fantastic job of self-promoting that as well.
Thank you, sir.
Very very welcome. You guys do a very good job on the show as well.
No, it's just promotion. The show's
I don't think I don't. Is Chris on that show? I don't think I remember. Is he
not
on the
sure,
show?
Right?
I know you and Jonathan are on.
We
is
are,
Chris
yeah.
on the show?
Yeah.
Has Chris shown up yet today for the baseball show?
I mean, he
hates football. He hates football, so I don't know.
I have not seen him come in yet, so I will.
As I normally do, I'm reaching for the low-hanging fruit. That's how I roll.
Bears game.
Local baseball, okay?
Yeah.
I got a little connection here.
Okay.
There's more than one tentacle here for me. You've got the White Sox in Cincinnati for three. Obviously, the Reds are my favorite sports team of all time. The Reds have won five in a row, I believe, and are currently in second place in the National League Central. Can they hold up against the best team in all of the American League, the Chicago White Sox? Will the White Sox continue to put the pedal to the metal now that they've earned a playoff spot for the first time since 2008? I say they will. And also, the Cubs are hosting the Twins for three starting tonight. You're going to get the best of the Twins, I think. I think the Cubs have played the fewest number of games against teams with a winning record of anybody in all of Major League Baseball by a long shot. I think Jesse Rogers had that tweet that I saw earlier today.
Mm-hmm.
So they step up in class against a good team. Will the Twins be bringing the good stuff because they're trying to keep pace with the White Sox? So you see how I'm weaving that together, guys.
I do.
So local baseball, Cubs and Sox baseball.
I forgot one thing, too.
Very important.
Forgot the Emmys are on Sunday night. The Emmys are on Sunday night. I like award shows. This one's going to be weird. It's hosted by Jimmy Kimmel. It's going to be weird because everything's going to be on like Zoom and pre-recorded. But I do believe that people that work hard on things deserve awards and they deserve credit for the things that they work hard on. So watch award shows. That's my pitch.
Okay, well said. When we come back, we are going to preview all of the games in week two. I think we did this last week. I enjoyed the hell out of it. In fact, I wanted to take my shirt off and dance around the studio because I was so excited about talking about each one of these football games. We're going to do the same when we come back in 2 short minutes, and we will be back thanks to our good friends at Legal Rideshare.